healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimum levels of health. We want to feel better, live long, and enjoy life even more, and that's what I attempt to bring you in each of the shows on Healthy Alternatives. My guest this week, who I'm going to be introducing more formally in just a few minutes, is Stephen Halpern. He is an award-winning composer, recording artist, producer. He is focused on healing music that has helped millions of people worldwide to experience the blessings and benefits of deep relaxation and inner peace. He's considered by some to be the creator of and the kind of the grandfather of New Age music. His first recording, which was in 1975 in this arena, called Chakra Suites, actually began the revolution of this whole notion of New Age, quote-unquote, music. We're going to be talking to Stephen in just a few minutes. Now, every week I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you, your family, your loved ones. I don't normally talk about politics, but I do want to talk about it this time. What I want to talk about is the Republicans in Congress wanting to gut the Environmental Protection Act. Now, you may not be aware, but I actually, back in the early 70s, was an attorney for the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency in the Division of Air Pollution Control. Nowadays, you know that the Republicans in Congress are saying that these regulations are going to be harmful, they're going to put businesses out of business, they're going to destroy jobs. Guess what? Back in the 70s, that was the same exact argument that was being made by the Republicans, that by following environmental protection regulations, that jobs would be destroyed, businesses would go out of business. The same kind of stuff that they were saying. Well, guess what happened back then? Guess what's going to be happening now? New industries were created because with environmental controls, people had to invent them. Companies had to manufacture them. They needed to be installed. But then an interesting thing happened beyond that, and companies started looking at their processes, or how are they doing things, how are they creating things, and they discovered that they can actually get a heck of a lot more efficient. They could reduce their water amounts dramatically. They could reduce their electrical usage amounts. They could take the chemicals that are waste products, and they discover that they can actually sell them to other folks who could use those products instead of going into a landfill. They actually served a purpose. The other piece that the Republicans ignore is the effects that poor pollution control regulations have on the population. Back in the early 70s, there was a town in Indiana called Gary, Indiana. U.S. Steel was located there. Enormous plant. When you got to Gary, Indiana, driving during the day, you had to turn your headlights on of your car when you drove through on the interstate because the pollution was so bad you could not see in front of you. You've got asthma for folks. You've got damage to property, wear and tear on property, deaths that happen from poor pollution controls being in place. Gutting those regulations, if you start looking at what are the benefits to society and start factors those into the quote unquote economic analysis that gets done, and you'll see that there's extreme cost benefits from keeping pollution out of the environment. There are extreme benefits that keep us healthy, and they don't put companies out of business. So write your congressman, especially if they're Republican, and let them know that they have to factor in the health factors to the equation. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to my website at teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. You'll also see at the very top of the page where it has Jerry Recommends, and those are people and services that I recommend. You might want to take a look at that. On my website, I also have an e-newsletter I put out once a month. It's health, nutrition, wellness oriented. It's different information than what I give you on Healthy Alternatives. Go to teplitz.com and click on the Home About button, and you'll be able to sign up for that. Every week, I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's the newest discoveries, latest information about healthy alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and loved ones. Since I'm doing an environmentally oriented theme, what I want to talk about is conservation, because we've got to save the planet. We got to save the species on the planet. And I want to talk to you a story that was extremely successful. This relates to Fort Bragg in North Carolina, which trains the U.S. Army's elite and airborne troops, and they served in wars from Korea to Afghanistan. In 1990, the top brass encountered, quote-unquote, a unique foe threatening the shutdown of Fort Bragg, and that was the red cockadood woodpecker. This is a bird that's been in rapid decline, and it was heading towards extinction. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service issued what they called a Jeopardy Biological Opinion in 1990, which required the base to take action to recover its woodpecker population or face sharp restrictions on military training activities. I'm sure there was a major hubbub about that. We're saving the damn woodpecker. Well, let's look at this whole thing a little further. Woodpeckers use longleaf pine forests, and because there are so few longleaf pine forests left in the southeast, Fort Bragg happened to have 120,000 acres of longleaf pine. However, they weren't taking care of the pine the way you need to take care of it for the benefit of the red cockadood woodpecker, because years of suppressing forest fires on the base had altered the habitat. It allowed dense thickets of brush and scrub oak to fill in the opening spaces. It allowed predators such as rat snakes to evolve into that environment. Since there are fewer than 3.4 million acres of longleaf pine remaining, it was frequent wildfires in the southeast that was really the success of the longleaf pine and the red cockadood woodpecker. What the fires did is they stimulated sprouting of native ground cover that harbors the woodpecker's favorite insect prey, and as I said, they cleared out all the underbrush that was threatening them, and because the longleaf pine have fire-resistant bark, they could survive. Now, the woodpeckers preferred to roost in large pines that were 80 years or older because they were infected with a red heart rot, a fungus which softened the heartwood of the mature trees. And so they looked at the idea of, well, can we move our red cockadood woodpeckers to another location? Well, problem is it takes 6 to 7 years for a woodpecker to dig out that hole for them to roost. So the Army started to collaborate with the Nature Conservancy, State Wildlife Commission, Fish and Wildlife Service, a whole range of groups. And what did they start doing? They started to do a program of carefully controlled burns to clear out the hardwoods that were choking the pine habitat. They also began to buy up land around the base and added 16,000 acres so that it further enhanced the protection. And they discovered that they could actually make an artificial nest cavity by climbing a ladder, carving a hole high up in a pine tree trunk, putting in a nesting box that was modeled on the actual woodpecker's nesting location. Turns out the artificial roosts were an instant success, and they allowed the birds to spread to areas where older trees and ready-made natural cavities were not available or in short supply. And wildlife managers have been installing these cavities in woodpecker habitat now for about 20 years. And so Fort Bragg has increased their population to 350 breeding groups by 2011. And they reached, that was their goal of 2011. They actually reached that goal 5 years ahead of schedule because of that. There's now an estimated number of breeding groups around the country, having bounced back from 4,000 in 1990 to 62,000 today. A breeding group has the parents and a number of relatives to assist in raising the children. As they said in Fort Bragg, that this helped many other species as well to recover that depended on this pine forest. You have a situation here where the impact on the Army actually became very minimal. They were able to dramatically increase and protect the environment for a red cockadood woodpecker that actually had all kinds of other benefits on the land and the species that used it. Before I bring on my guest, Stephen Halpern, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Stephen Halpern. Stephen is an award-winning composer, recording artist, and producer whose healing music has helped millions worldwide to experience the blessings and benefits of deep relaxation and inner peace. His debut release was in 1975 called Chakra Suite, and it began a quiet revolution and a new genre of contemporary instrumental music. A lot of people will quote unquote label it new age music. And Stephen can be considered the father of going in that direction. He sold over 700,000 copies. His sales from all of his albums has been, and CDs now, is over 6 million units. And Stephen's more than just a musician. I would call him a Renaissance man. He's an author, media spokesperson, seminar leader, pioneering sound healer, and entrepreneur. And he's really created this whole market for alternative lifestyle support music.
And he was recognized by Keyboard Magazine as one of the 30 most influential keyboard artists in the past 50 years. He's produced over 70 recordings in the Inner Peace Music and what he calls the Soundwave 2000 Subliminal Audio Series, which we'll talk about a little later. And his two of his books are Tuning the Instrument and Sound Health. He's been interviewed for the New York Times, LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle. He's been on CBS, NBC, ABC, BBC, and many, many other groups. And so, Stephen, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Well, thank you, Jerry. A pleasure to be here.
Now, for the sake of transparency, I've actually known Stephen, we've talked about before we started recording, since around 1977. And I have actually been selling his music products since around then. And in the 80s, we actually created a series of subliminal, and we'll talk about what that means in just a little bit, subliminal music in the business arena, and the two that we still have are Success for Salespeople and Success for Managers. So, Stephen, let me ask a question first as to what got you going in this direction in the first place.
Well, Jerry, it was actually something that I didn't necessarily make a conscious decision of. I started hearing this beautiful music in my head during meditations and dreams. And having been a professional musician, was skilled at playing lots of notes very fast. I knew all the rules. But this music was basically going outside the bar lines, and it was taking me to places of great inner peace. And when I played some of this music for other people, they said, wow, this sounds great. Where can we get some of that? Because this was starting in 1969 and 1970, it was really hard to make recordings back then, but as that became more possible in the 1975 era, I made my first recording, thought that would be all I'd be doing, gave some copies out to friends and family, and then found out that word was getting out there and more people started contacting me to find this music that helped them experience this place of peace within. And it was clear that I was hitting a resonant chord. It was something that was striking a resonance in other people. And there was a market for this that no one else was addressing that was outside of what the music industry was interested in. And that's what got me into it, my own needs, and then finding out there were many people that wanted music like this in their own life.
Now, you focus in on using music for health, for well-being, for peak performance. Can't people just listen to their own music? What makes yours different, and why can't they just turn Led Zeppelin on?
Right. A great question. The reality is that most music is designed for entertainment, and in the same way that you wouldn't drink 3 cups of coffee and try to get to sleep at night because of the caffeine content, most music is simply too fast to help you relax, and it's, in many cases...
Oh, no. Stephen, when you say too fast, you mean the tempo and...
The tempo, right.
Fast. Okay.
And if we're talking about music with words, then the lyrics are something that we automatically respond to. Our brains can't ignore the words or the lyrics, and if you're focusing on a task at hand that you need to concentrate for, or if you're reading, or if you're trying to relax, this is exactly the opposite of what you need. It basically draws your attention to an external reality rather than what's going on inside. Now, the other aspect is that most music imposes its own needs on the listener. And what I discovered is that when it comes to assisting us in manifesting higher levels of health, I confirm what many other researchers have found, is that there is an innate intelligence and wisdom in the body that if we allow that to come to the foreground, a lot of the work is done. And the way that that manifests, as Dr. Herbert Benson pointed out in his landmark Relaxation Response bestseller back in the 70s, is through accessing a state of relaxation. The problem is that most people are not really familiar with what relaxation feels like. There are some physiological characteristics, their mental characteristics, and when we get into that state, we get much higher dividends and benefits for the sorts of things that relate to health and well-being. I'm not saying, Jerry, that we should never listen to music we enjoy. Of course we should. But when we're looking for ways to enhance concentration, productivity, or to help us relax or go to sleep, making wiser choices is the best use of your time and resources.
And one of the things that your music does, because it has that relaxation component built into it, with all the stress people are under nowadays with the economy and loss of jobs and homes, even if they're not losing it, their friends are and people they know. And so my view is that you're actually letting people get to a place that's getting more difficult to reach because of all the chaos going on around us.
Yes, indeed. Stress levels, even before the economic downturn, have been getting higher every year. And now with the added financial stresses that so many people are dealing with, we're working longer hours, and this is also affecting our sleep, which then compounds the problems of having a high degree of concentration and productivity. So all these things are related. What we can do for our own health and well-being is the most important things that we can do. And using music, which is a very ancient healing art form that had been forgotten about for thousands of years, is one of the most effective, cost-effective, time-effective, legal and fun and easy ways to bring more relaxation and reduce stress and just help you feel better, to feel like yourself again, and to maintain that level of health and then prevent some other bad things from happening disease-wise in the future.
Now, you've actually done research on the impact of your music. Can you tell my listeners about that?
Well, when I first started playing this music, I was happily able to be in contact with some world-famous scientists who said, what we see is wonderful. We see people relaxing. To be taken seriously, you need to do biofeedback, scientific, medical-type research. And in order to do that, I had to go back and, into graduate programs. And the research that I did was astounding in that I compared my new music with music with the highest rated relaxation music that the Music Therapy Association had from the classical genre. What we found is that even though people thought classical music was relaxing, in terms of biological, physiological responses, it wasn't very effective. So I became the guy who exploded the myth that all you needed to do was choose classical music and you'd be fine. I mean, everyone knows you can't, you know, you shouldn't choose heavy metal or rap or hard rock to try to relax.
But nowadays, I don't know if you can say that anymore.
Well, a lot of people are not using that to relax, but to escape, and those are different things. And and of course, there are age related factors. But for most of our audience, I would dare say that if you're over 25 years of age, your body knows what it needs to relax. And if you don't give it the proper building materials, the proper raw materials, it's like eating junk food all your time. Your body can't maintain a high level of health and well-being if you feed it junk food or junk sound.
And so what you've created are and have had lab assistance. And how did you figure it out in the lab that you were having that kind of impact on folks that was so positive?
Well, what we used was state-of-the-art biofeedback, including GSR, galvanic skin response, sort of things they use in lie detection to show if we are if the subject was relaxed or not. We use brainwave monitoring, EEG, and we use curling and photography, which was human energy field photography. This was just coming into the world's awareness in the early 70s. It's since become a cutting-edge technology, computer-assisted visualization of the energy field surrounding our physical field, the sorts of things that were not considered to be real for many years. But recently, Western scientists have proven that what the Chinese use in their acupuncture and indigenous healers have used around the world, energy fields that are at a higher frequency than just our dense physical body exist. And I chose, because I understood that music was producing some very subtle effects rather than just affecting our heart rate or our breathing rate, which of course it does. But in order to find the subtle areas, we needed to use some of the more sophisticated scientific technology. And I hooked up with a lab that had this technology and never looked back.
And for listeners who have seen me do my concept of muscle checking, I've actually muscle checked Stephen's music, and it checks out what I label as high energy. So before we continue talking to Stephen Halpern, I'd like to remind you that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net, and we'll be back with Stephen Halpern in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of Shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, "These techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too." Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Stephen Halpern. Stephen is an award-winning composer, recording artist, and producer who is, I would label, the father of the genre of New Age music. His very first recording was released in 1975 in this area called Chakra Suites. It's now sold over 700,000 copies. And Stephen has actually researched the impact of his music. He's developed over 70 recordings in his Inner Peace Music and Soundwave Music Subliminal Audio series. And his first two books were Tuning the Human Instrument and Sound Health. And for more information on Stephen and his music, you can go to stephenhalpern.com. That's www.stephenhalpern.com. Now, Stephen, you have also created what is known as subliminal music. Can you tell our audience what that means first before we talk further about it?
Sure. Well, actually, I create and compose music, and then I add subliminal affirmations. So the music isn't subliminal. Subliminal means below the threshold of conscious awareness. People might be familiar with that, perhaps more so with visual subliminals, or even seeing something out of the corner of your eye, peripheral vision, where you're not paying attention to that, but you are aware of it. Well, our brains are amazing. Very subtle stimuli can get its attention, and indeed, if they're below the threshold of conscious awareness, the information will go directly into the subconscious mind. Now, who knows a lot about this? Are advertisers, the military, politicians, etc. So there are many uses of symbols and subliminal technology being used all the time that people are not aware of, and yet some of these same people will tell you that subliminal technology is not effective, just so that the competitors won't know they're doing it. What I started finding
this doesn't work at all.
Right.
But I'm going to use it.
Exactly. But I'm not going to tell you what. Now, many Olympic athletes use it. Many leading CEOs use it. Tony Robbins has used it. And many other people. And many people don't, as I say, don't tell other people because they want to keep their competitive advantage. I actually worked with a major football team at one point in the mid-80s because they were interested in increasing the speed and explosiveness of their offensive line. And one of the ways that you could do this is to have people listen to music and not consciously listen to the words. Because if you're hearing the words, whether you're looking at other topics like losing weight, if you hear words like you are relaxed, it's easy for you to lose weight, your conscious mind might resist and say, no, I can't relax, I can't lose weight. And that resistance defeats the purpose. But if you don't hear the words consciously, they just slide into the subconscious mind, where 85%, say the researchers, of our behavior is really rooted. And that makes it easier to change habits, makes it easier to get and receive the outcomes that you're looking for. So when it comes to enhancing concentration, what I use then are compositions that, A, get the listener into a relaxed state. How do you know if the music that you're listening to is distracting? It's very simple. If you're reading the same sentence over and over, as I found many times when I'm listening to pop music or classical music when I'm trying to study or trying to read, I figured out that that's a waste of my time. So I choose the proper music as the bed in which then to properly script with positive short statements, which are called affirmations, so that the combination isn't distracting. It's something that I can listen to in the background that will just keep my brain focused on the target outcome.
One of the things I, for listeners to know, that I like what Stephen does in terms of his saloonals and the business ones that he and I did, Success for Managers and Success for Salespeople, on the inside cover of all the CDs are the messages. So you actually know what he's saying, because there are some companies that don't let you know what the messages are. And
yeah.
Stephen's right up front. You know what the messages are right off the bat.
And because I produce these, I do know that those are the messages that are there, and there aren't other things that say, buy more of my CDs or tapes. I come from a tradition of high integrity, and I know what would happen if I did something like that. So that keeps me on the, you know, one of the other ways of working with the up and up. And a lot of the programs that I've developed are ones that I needed myself. So it just all fits together to work for the highest and the best and come from a place of high integrity.
So give us an example of how somebody was impacted by one of your subliminals.
Well, for instance, I've had people write me who were working on a book. They got to that point of writer's block. And I was one of those people myself at one point, and I started working and listening to a program designed to help me remember everything that I had read, to be able to organize my thoughts and be able to actually enjoy writing and typing my book. Well, this revolutionized my own life, because it allowed me to get my book Sound Health done on time and helped me to make the deadlines that I had been missing. I've heard that from many other people who've had to write business reports after a long day. They didn't think something would work, but they had seen me in a workshop, or had read something on a magazine article, or heard an interview like this, and they just put the album on in the background. And without any extra effort, they just found themselves naturally energized. Ideas came to mind. There was a creative tapping into their own creative wellspring, and things worked better. I've had people who tried losing weight on other companies' products, and they gained weight. Some of this, I would imagine, is due to stress in the music they're listening to, as well as improperly scripted affirmations. For instance, if you tell the subconscious mind you do not gain weight, the subconscious mind doesn't hear the negative. So the subconscious mind hears, you do gain weight. And therefore, the body responds, people gain weight, and they wonder, what's the matter? Well, the matter was they were using the wrong program.
Yeah, I've actually done muscle checking on some of those other products that are out there. that call themselves subliminal and found that they actually weaken people's energy levels with the muscle checking, whereas yours create a high energy, this high energy impact. Let me share you one story that I think mm-hmm. will also highlight to our leaders, listeners, the impact of Stephen's music. He's got one called Accelerated Learning, which is designed to play when you're reading anything you want to remember. And like textbooks where you have to read the same paragraph, sentence, page over and over again, that's what I call left hemispheric writing that the person is doing. And it actually stresses us versus a novelist that is writing from both hemispheres. What Stephen's Accelerated Learning does is balance your hemispheres so you can actually read and absorb that material. So I went over to a friend's house. She had wanted me to bring over Accelerated Learning to her, and I did. And her kid was studying math, and he came out of the room. We gave him the CD. He went into the room, and 5 minutes later he comes out. You know, I turn this on, and all of a sudden the math makes sense.
Wow.
That's how fast the impact can be with this material. Another one he's got is enhancing success that you play when you want to be productive. And this woman said to me, she turns that on and it's like all she wants to do is get stuff done. So it's immediate impacts is from what I get in terms of the feedback as well. Now, you've put a new one out that focuses in on sleep. Is that correct, Stephen?
I have. And one of the reasons was because with all the new levels of electromagnetic pollution that we're dealing with, I started having problems falling asleep that I never had before. So I said, well, you know, I'm obviously in a position to create some new soundtracks that I need. And I started falling asleep easier. So I started publishing them first on my own website and found that they are working very well for other people. One of the things that makes my new Sleepscape Delta album different, for instance, is that I include not subliminal affirmations, but subtle tones that engage the brain's response. So in other words, you barely hear them, but this kind of brainwave entrainment sound technology gently guides the brain into the brainwave frequencies that are associated with deep and restorative sleep. So automatically, you listen to the music, which is relaxing on its own right, and then even more so, guiding the brainwaves is an extra added bonus that takes you into the sleep zone. Now, I can tell you that this is one of the hardest albums I ever worked on because there were some times that we actually were dozing off in the studio. And every time I listened to it at home as I would go to sleep, I'd never hear the end of the album. I'd be asleep by song two or three, and I realized that's a good thing. I don't care if I hear the entire album. I want to get to sleep.
Except when you're trying to do the editing.
Exactly. So those were days, and that's one of the reasons the album took a long time to be finished. And it was funny, my engineer and I still joke about it, that before we put it out, there were a couple of times right as I was ready to do the pressings, I would hear something that wasn't quite right that both of us had missed. Even though we were consciously awake, part of our brain was in sleep mode. So this is something you do not use while driving. You do not use while working. It's only to be used for sleep. And it's why some of the people who tried to review this at their desk while they're awake missed the whole point. It's functional music. It's targeted at a specific activity. And this is how we're beginning to understand we can use music as a vitamin, as an herb, as a very specific adjunct and a resource to help us live better and more effectively by making the right choices.
Stephen, what's the name of that album?
That album is called Sleepscape Delta. And the album that I'll have in about 3 months is called Your Best Music for Sleep that will not have the brainwave entrainment. People could sometimes it's useful to just trade off to have variety. I like variety when I'm going to sleep. Mm-hmm. And this is all part of my Music for Sleep series.
Great. So my guest today has been Stephen Halpern. And for those who want to order his music and find out more about him and what he does, simply go to stephenhalpern.com. And Stephen is S-T-E-V-E-N, Halpern, H-A-L-P-E-R-N, stephenhalpern.com. Stephen, thank you for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
This has been fun. Thank you, Jerry. A pleasure being here, and I salute you in your work and taking all this new information out into the world as well.
Thanks, Stephen. Everyone.
My guest next week is Glory Megrim. Glory is a graduate of the University of Maryland with a bachelor's degree in speech, drama, and English secondary education. She obtained her master's degree from the University of Santa Monica in applied psychology. She also is a graduate of the four-year professional training program at the Barbara Brennan School of Healing and has completed 4 years of training at the Pathwork Transformation Program. She's a nutritional consultant. She's been fascinated with healing and health, and she's discovered a program that she's been using called the Isagenix program, which looks at nutritional building and cleansing and how it can help you feel better, feel younger, have boundless energy. And we're going to be talking to Glory about what she's discovered in our next show. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.